Oh, you can't miss today's More Faith, More Life podcast because there's a flood coming. Not a flood of water, but a flood of trouble. And I'm going to tell you how to stop it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another More Faith, More Life podcast. We're taking a little bit of a sidestep away from our normal speaking about your faith, your life, how to improve your life, and how to live a life of faith that produces a happier life, a more prosperous life. And instead, we're going to talk about our nation and nations and what's going on in our nation, because things are happening. We're at a turning point, and we need people like you to understand where we are, what we need to be doing. And last podcast, I talked about it a little bit, and I want to talk about it again. I'm using my little booklet. It's only 5 or 6 chapters. If You Only Knew, A Guide to the Clueless Generation, you can get it, download it for free, or you can order it if you want to and pay a little bit and have it in your hand like this one. But the need of it is we're at a crossing point where I'm seeing that we can change what could happen, that what could happen in a bad way is preventable. But I don't see churches, pastors, or leaders doing anything different. They're not preparing us. They're not preaching to us, in my opinion, what needs to be said to us, okay? They're soothing us. Churches make us feel better about who we are. And they know what they're doing because they know if I can make you feel better about who you are, you'll probably come back next Sunday. Maybe you'll give in the offering. Maybe you'll support me or whatever, okay? But that's not the message. We don't need any more. We need to stop, shut that down. We don't need any more talking about how we feel and view ourselves, and we need to view ourselves differently, and we're not a loser, you're not a loser, and it's not your fault. We got to move on because we need to be prepared for the unleashing of more evil in the world, not just in the world, but directed toward us, the United States of America. And we need to be ready for that, and we're not. We're barely hanging on now. We're, you know, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, it's the terrible thing is it's usually the same symptoms. Christians are depressed. Other people depressed. Regular folks, church folks are getting divorced. Other people are getting divorced. You know, what's the difference? And kids are acting up. Kids are acting out. And the church kids or non-church kids, it doesn't make any difference, see? And so what we're doing, people go to church to soothe their conscience, soothe their guilt, soothe their relationship so they feel better about where they are. Like, it's, well, maybe it's not as bad. And then they come back. And we can't be soothed anymore. You know, we're like in a boiling pot, and the church is making us feel better about it, right? So we're at the point now where we need to do what needs to be done God's way if we want to save our nation from the unleashing of more evil spirits, real spirits, unleashing, but also then evil people who have evil spirits and have evil intentions towards America. Some of them are right here in America now. Isn't that a shame? Yes, but that's true. They're in America now. And then they're not in America now. There are other places in the world. And they want to do evil towards us. They want to unleash evil towards our nation. They want to change the direction and take things from us, right? Okay, and so today I want to talk about the coming disaster, or a better way of saying it, I want to use the flood. I wrote this down on my paper here. It's over on this other one. That are we headed, there we go, are we headed for another flood? Okay, are we headed for another flood? Which flood am I talking about? Well, of course, I'm talking about the big flood, the flood where God flooded the earth, Noah and his ark and the animals and that. A lot of times we make that a cute little story. I notice I go to churches and I'll visit churches and they'll have that, which is fine. They have a cute little ark on the wall, you know, a bigger little ark, you know, a wooden ark. And then all the cute animals look like little circus animals. You know, they got pink little circles on them and stuff, and they're marching into the ark. But they don't. Is that realistic? Zion, what do you think? Zion's there, our producer's with me. Do you think that's realistic? If they're going to do what they should have cute little animals going into the ark, and then the next shot should be people drowning in water, right? Dying. People died. All these millions died in it. So it's cute, good for the animals, not good for people. But here's the deal. That flood was preventable. So when I say, are we going to have another flood, you need to, if you know your Bible, you'll immediately correct me and say, no, because God put the rainbow in the sky to say, I'll never flood the earth like that again. But I'm not talking about just a water flood. I'm talking about a flood of evil, a flood of problems, of wars and famines and just trouble. Are we due for another flood? And the flood was to start over and correct the problem. I don't think God's going to destroy the earth and start over, because I would think he's going to, Jesus will come back before that. But are we in for a flood of trouble that's going to flood our nation and the world and change the world forever? And yet it's preventable. The flood, the big flood, the Noah flood, was preventable. You say, how is it preventable? It was preventable because all the other people had to do was build a boat too. That's one way, right? All they had to do was listen to Noah, who was a preacher of do what's right, of righteousness. He's preaching, do what's right. And they didn't listen. If they had listened, they would have, two things could have happened. He would have said, then you folks over here, you're listening. You folks over here not listening, so forget those folks. But these folks, you're listening. Do what I do. Build a boat to save your family. The Bible says he built an ark to save his family. And you could do that. You need to build an ark to save your family from the coming flood, not of water, not of even fire, but just a flood of trouble and hurt, pain that can be prevented. All right? So it right now, this flood of evil is probable, but it's preventable too. And we want to get on the prevention side. So the other way to stop the flood was that it could have been prevented, was all the people had to do was listen to the preaching of Noah, do what's right. And what do you think God would have done? Well, what's he done in the past? What's our Bible examples in the past where people saw that they were off the mark, they saw they were doing things that displeased God? Well, then they changed. We call it repentance, which kind of sounds like a bad thing, but it's not. It's just changing direction and changing your mind. And, you know, the people of Nineveh did that. Jonah ended up in the whale, or I should say the fish. He ended up in the belly of a fish because he did not want to preach what God wanted him to preach. Well, you know, he finally got out of that and he gets spit on dry ground. He goes and preaches to Nineveh. And guess what? They repent, but they just change. It wasn't this awful thing, like repentance is an awful thing. And think of all the, you know, you got to think of everything you ever did bad. No, you don't have to think of everything you did bad. You just got to change. You know, you change for God, for the sake of the kingdom of God, for the sake of God. But you do it for yourself too, because then God did not destroy Nineveh. It was preventable. The flood was preventable. Jesus then also was preaching in his day and revealed to them that Rome was planning, if we have more riots, if they have more riots and insurrections, Rome is going to come and attack Jerusalem, okay? And Jesus knew that. And at the same time, while he's trying to preach repentance, because he said repent, now, was that an awful thing? Like, I'm telling you, you Israelites, you're awful people, you're terrible people, and you got to think how terrible you are, and you got to remember all the terrible things you've done, and you need to repent. No, he said, just need to change. You just need to stop compromising. Stop pretending you're so spiritual when you're not. Quit going through the motions. Quit whitewashing all the stuff, making it look pretty on the outside when the inside, there's junk going on inside of you and inside of us and people everywhere. So we need to quit whitewashing it. But they didn't want to change. They did not want to stop doing what they're doing. They wanted to live the way they wanted to live. And so so in the Bible, you can read it. So he starts weeping over Jerusalem because he knows that trouble is coming. He says, they're coming. Now, it was 40 years later, but they're coming and they're going to kill you. They're going to throw your children to the ground. They're going to set fire to this place and they're going to destroy the temple, which they did. And he knew it. But, you know, why would he weep? Well, like, okay, he got this sad picture in his head. No, I think he wept because it was preventable. It was preventable. He's trying to say, it doesn't have to happen. Pastor Steve Gray is sitting here right now saying, it doesn't have to happen. But it will happen. It's going to happen if we do not change something. And it'll be, it won't be the people that don't claim to know God or don't even want to know God, it'll be our fault. The people who claim to know God, who carry Bibles, who go to church, who know what God's doing and saying, and yet we are compromising it. We want to build our ministries. We want to build a church. We want to build friendships. We want to have spaghetti suppers together with friends and go bowling, you know, with nice people, you know. Come on. You can do that any place. And that's not necessarily bad. That's good too. But because I think we're going to go play putt-putt golf with our worship team or something soon. You know, okay, that's okay. but that's not what a church does. A church is not an organizer of activities to keep people busy and happy and have friends. It is a church. A church connects people to the Spirit of God. And then the Spirit of God changes us, alters us, renews us. And repentance is not this terrible, awful thing. It's a wonderful thing because things are, as I change my mind about God, I change my mind about who He is, I change my mind about who I'm going to be. I'm going to serve Him. He's going to be important to me. I'm going to learn about God. I'm going to do some searching, you know, because he's everywhere, but you still got to find Him, you know, and in this special way that I'm talking about. And so it's imperative. We have a revival of people hungry to know God, a revival of people saying, I want to know God. I want to know God. I'm looking for the days when I watch some Western or police movie or cop show or something like that, and you notice over 20 years worth, they'd mention here'd be the rugged cop who always goes against the rules and all that kind of stuff. And then somebody would say something religious and or this or God or something, and always the hero, the big tough guy hero, always says, well, I'm not a very religious person, or I don't really believe in God. And it was always the tough guy, the leader, the star of the show that said, tells the audience they don't believe in God. I'm looking for the day when that changes, where now our heroes, they mention that and they go, yeah, God has empowered me. I am who I am. God's made me who I am. And I'm going to go help other people make their lives better. And I'm going to do powerful things, you know. Maybe they'll go get rid of crime, but they are maybe like, God has empowered me and helped me and changed me. So now I can be a hero. I can do something. I want that movie to come out and see what people do. But it could come, because even in Hollywood, we see signs of people changing their mind about God. Did you know that? It's happening. It's slow, but it needs to happen in your life. And it needs to happen in the churches. It's great when a celebrity comes on, for me at least, they get a lot of flack, but you know about it. But when a celebrity comes on and they all of a sudden tell you about their faith or how God's helped them or whatever, okay, great. And then people criticize, and some do. But you know, that's not the people we need to be hearing from. We need to be hearing that kind of stuff from the pastors. The pastors need to start telling you how they've changed, what they're doing to change. What are you doing, leaders and churches and denominations? And these are questions you should be asking too. What are they doing to get in line with what God's saying and the power of God to empower the people to stand up against depression, not to just try to get by, but stand up to get rid of anger, to get rid of offense, to turn into a different kind of people, ready to face every disaster, ready to face every nation, any nation. Any nation in the world that threatens us, we don't back down, we don't get afraid, we stand up tall, you know? And yet, we don't just do it in our own strength. We go like, wait a minute, this is the nation that has in God. We trust on our coins, and we sing, God, shed your grace on thee, America, America. We have a purpose in the world, and we're to be a different kind of people. We don't have evil spirits on us. We're not worshiping fish gods and wood gods and water gods and all that. No, we worship the true God, and we're satisfied with that. And we're going to help other people make life better, because, like this broadcast, more faith makes life better. More faith, you walk by faith. The more faith you walk by, the more exciting it gets, the better it gets, life gets better. And that's what this podcast is about. But today we're talking about America, and I'm using the book, If You Only Knew, A Guide to the Clueless Generation. So the people of the flood, preventable, but they were clueless. They didn't know. They did not know a flood was coming, and the Bible says, until they were all swept away. Is that what you want? You want to see people swept away in disaster? And I'm not talking about a real flood. I'm talking about the disaster of emotional problems, the release of evil spirits, an attack on our nation, a terrorist attack or whatever, a terrible attack, and all of a sudden now everybody's petrified and falling apart, and preachers and churches don't know what to tell you. Just hang on and try to soothe us again through. No, we're going to stand up too. Not soothe us through, but stand up too. We don't want to be clueless. And so you, people that know it's coming, if you know the flood's coming, then you build a boat. If you know Rome is coming, then you prepare yourselves, and you don't prepare an army with swords and spears. You prepare yourself with God so that God will come with you and no one can stand up against you, because they're Romans, yeah, but we're God's people, and God's going to save us and rescue us. And so, and that's historically what he did to Israel until this time when Jesus is talking about, yeah, that's how it was in the past, but it's not going to happen this time. This time, your enemies are coming. They're going to throw you to the ground. But it was preventable. And so what I'm telling you today is, if we have the churches and the people and people like you that understand what's going on, we can say, there won't be another flood. We can prevent another flood of evil, another flood of a world war, another flood of pandemic, you know, another flood of disease and sickness. That's all preventable. Yeah. And it starts with the church. And if you don't believe me, then you can, now we can end on this part of it. So you remember I was talking about Jonah, and we all know the big fish or the big whale, as most people say. And he gets on a boat trying to run from God, right? And the ship begins to get in a terrible, terrible storm. And they do everything they can, the ship people, the people that know storms. And they throw stuff overboard and they try to hold on. And it's just getting worse and worse. And they're trying to figure out what to do. And finally, Jonah says, listen, I know how to stop a storm, right? The storm was preventable. They think they're all going to die. And he says, no, this is preventable. Okay, Jonah, how do we prevent us dying? We don't want to die. We don't want to drown. What do we need to do to prevent this storm? And he says, throw me overboard. You know, the people that aren't preaching. See, Jonah didn't want to preach what God wanted him to preach. So Jonah says, listen, throw me overboard, and the storm will cease. And you know what? They did. And they threw him in the water, and that's how he ended up in the fish. But they threw him, and once they were released from a preacher that didn't want to preach God's message, that didn't want to obey, there was one, I don't know what he's wanting to do. You know, I don't know what he's wanting to say. But once they threw him over, storm ceased. So We need a revival in the men of God, the women of God, the churches of God, who start seeking God, and they're not confused, and they're not wanting to go, you know, say, well, I go to church to play badminton or volleyball. Okay, that's fine. We have a volleyball net too, you know. We got a gymnasium. But if that's why you're going, you're going to be swept away in a storm that doesn't have to happen. A flood is coming. A flood of evil is coming. And yet it is preventable. It is preventable. But the only way we can prevent a flood of evil is by the Spirit of God, the righteous Spirit of the Lord. And so you need to get this. You need to get the message. You need to know this by heart. But you know this in your heart. You know, you go sit in a church service and here is a soothing sermon trying to get people that not to change, not to be, but just trying to tell them they're okay and God loves you and just stay, keep doing what you're doing. And it's all going to be okay. You go like, what? What? There is a flood coming. We need to know how to swim. We got to know how to swim. We got to know how to survive. We got to know how to build a boat, a safety boat for our family. And I'm talking spiritually, obviously. I'm not wanting you to go build. I do like boats, but I'm not saying go build a real one. But I'm saying a spiritual safety boat for my kids to be safe in. What do? A spiritual revival. Just get interested in God. Turn to the Lord. Read the Bible. Go to church. Leave the church that's dead and dull and going nowhere, and you stand there and you just got to stand there and be silent. Come on, that's not even the original church. The original church was never silent, a silent church, right? So learn the right way. Learn this, get some stuff. So anyway, do it if nobody else does it, right? For your own family. But now pray for our churches and our leaders and our nation. Pray for America, because what wants to come doesn't have to come. Stop being clueless and help me and others put up the power of God in a spiritual revival that could sweep our nation, because everybody knows we got to do it in order to save America, right? So that's why we say, shed your grace on us, get fired up for God, do the right thing, listen to the preaching of Noah in our day, right? And do what's right, and you can save your family from disaster and trouble that's going to try, at least, to come our way. Is it probable? Yeah, right now, because we don't see much activity. But is it preventable? Yeah, because all we got to do is kick in and do and start serving God with a full heart. Stop playing church, as some people say. Stop compromising religion. Stop whitewashing like we're really spiritual and we really love God a whole lot. Okay, yeah, sure. All right, got to stop all that and get real and turn to the Lord with all your heart, and He will see that America lasts another 250 years. Till next time, bye-bye.